Forgiveness is power. It is the most positive power in the world. Forgiveness can change the past and help us to live in the present and give us hope for the future. Forgiveness is where we begin when we talk about family matters for several weeks in our church. Why forgiveness? Because forgiveness is a core value of the Christian faith. You find it everywhere. You turn to the Apostles' Creed, which we shared earlier in the service, and you heard us all saying together, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. And when I come across that, and when you come across it, probably we should say, thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sins. You find it in the Lord's Prayer, which Barbara read for us so effectively, where Jesus invites us to pray in this way. Lord, you forgive us as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. You find it prominently in the teaching of Jesus. And we see him practicing what he preached. When dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can look in many places in the Gospels and find teachings of Jesus on forgiveness as well as this passage which we have heard read today. For example, in Mark's Gospel, the 25th verse, you find Jesus saying, and when you're praying, if you have a grudge against anyone, forgive that person so that your heavenly Father can forgive you of your sins. Some people say they don't understand the Bible. Verses like that and instructions like that from Jesus are crystal clear. We understand his saying, if you want the Father to forgive you, then you forgive those who have hurt you. Forgiveness is necessary to life. That could be no family life without forgiveness. And I want to just mention a few things today that I think are important for us to remember and to reaffirm. And the first is this, that faithfulness and forgiveness are coupled together. When last night Dean and I went over to Auburn where I joined in holy matrimony, a man and a woman, and I reminded them that they're entering into a covenant with each other and a covenant with God, and I enjoined them to be faithful to each other and to not get involved with any other person, but be faithful only to this one that they were marrying. But you know, everybody is flawed. The faithfulness that I can offer Dean is flawed. The faithfulness that she can offer me is flawed because we are human beings and because we are not perfect. And so we need faithfulness and forgiveness to be coupled together in order to have a healthy life and a healthy marriage and a healthy family. I think about my mother's wisdom in putting, I don't know whether it was needlepoint or what, but it's been in a frame in our bedroom for so many years. I guess she knew that Dean and I needed it, or maybe she figured her son needed it more than her. But at any rate, it says, marriage, may there be such a oneness between you that when one weeps, the other will taste salt. Now you think about weeping, and maybe you, if you're like me, you think, well, we're going to weep when death invades the home and the family. And when we lose a loved one, we'll be weeping. But I look back on my life and recognize that I have wept many more times over my sins and my failures. And I have wept because I was offered forgiveness for my sins. Not only by Jesus, but by the people I love the most. When sometimes I get with my boys, one of them is in the booth right now, and they'll come to see me. Steve and I kind of have a lot more time together because we live near each other than the other boys. But when one of them will come to see me, usually they're hugging me. And I want to tell you, I don't take for granted the hug of one of my children. Because when I'm embracing them and when they're embracing me, I'm remembering that this is a sign that the mistakes I made as their dad when they were growing up have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I remember as a young father having boys and not knowing how to be a father because I found myself making all the mistakes that my own father had made. And I was ashamed because I was following in his footsteps and doing things that I despised about his doing. And I recognized that if I expected my sons to forgive me for my mistakes, I had to forgive my father for the mistakes that he had made. And I forgave him. And out of that, there came a new and better relationship with my dad. And finally, though he was raised in very hard times and raised to be a very harsh person, by the time he got to be 60, he was able to say, "Walter Jr., I love you." And I still remember the great joy that swept over me when I heard my dad say for the first time, "I love you, son. I love you." And I want to encourage you, if you're timid about saying that, get over it today. Now. And tell the people that you're in a family with, "I love you. I love you." You can't say it too much. Because the more you love each other, the more you're likely to forgive each other when the need for forgiveness arises. So faithfulness and forgiveness are coupled together. And then the obvious thing about unforgiveness is that it results in illness. It makes you sick to resent people. So why do I want to do it? Why would I want to continue to be resentful if I know it's going to make me sick and have me in bondage? Well, we do it, don't we? We figure, well, it must be something in the air. Maybe it's the pollen. Maybe it's the season of the year. Maybe it's the cold weather. Maybe it's the hot weather. Maybe it's a bug that I caught from somebody else that should have stayed home instead of being with me. Maybe it's somebody else's fault. And all the time, some of our illnesses are the result of resentment. I won't say hatred because I know all of you are too nice to hate anybody. But you're not too nice to resent somebody who's hurt you, are you? And all of us can embrace that a little bit easier than we can the word hate. But when we resent somebody, we're making ourselves sick. I thought about bringing a chain up here and putting it around my neck today, you know, kind of a visual aid to help you to see what resentment does to you. And I got to thinking I'd have to get the suit clean because the chain is dirty. But just imagine that I put that blooming chain around my neck, because that's what resentment does. It just puts you in chains and makes you sick. And we need to understand how unforgiveness paralyzes life and makes us miserable. One of the most poignant stories I've ever come across was the story of Elizabeth Barrett, who married Robert Browning. And many of you know the story, I'm sure, but it's worth telling again in light of a message about forgiveness and unforgiveness, because her father especially and her parents were unwilling for her to marry Robert Browning, but she fell in love with him and they went off and got married and they began to live in Paris, some distance away from where her parents lived. But every day she would write letters to her father and mother, asking their forgiveness and trying to help them to understand how much she loved Robert and how much their marriage meant to them. 10 years after writing hundreds of letters, she got a box in the mail one day. Every single letter she'd ever written to her parents was returned unopened. Can you imagine the degree of illness which these two parents brought upon themselves by resenting their own daughter to such an extent? Well, you think, well, that does that really happen? Well, of course it happens. Over the course of the years, I've heard so many people telling me, not long ago, a woman said, "I haven't spoken to my mother in 27 years. I almost fainted. I almost passed out. I thought, I can't believe what you just said. I haven't spoken." And I said, "Well, why?" "Well, she hurt me. And I just don't like her." And there wasn't anything I could do or say to help her to see how this attitude toward her own mother was paralyzing her own life and making her ill. And the parents of Elizabeth Barrett Browning had the chance to embrace one of the most skillful writers. You know what? All those letters she wrote to her parents have been preserved, and they are today an example of wonderful writing. But her father and mother never read a single line. But when I tell a story like that, what I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will do is to work in your mind and heart and help you think about things that you have done or perhaps you are doing that fall in line with that kind of resentful spirit and attitude. And I want the Holy Spirit to convict you, because I can't do it, but He can. And He can convict you of the error of resenting someone for what they've done. And if you're willing to bring it to the foot of the cross and to get over it, then you can be free. And that's the thing that I want to say next. Forgiveness is healing medicine. It brings healing into your life. Oh, can you think about times when you've had a broken relationship with someone and you got over it? You forget how it got over it. Probably you got over it because somebody said, "I'm sorry." And I read that those are the three hardest words for a man to ever get out of his mouth. "I am sorry." Can any of you vouch for that? I didn't hear any amens. I'm sorry. But forgiveness begins to take place and to have a healing effect in our lives when we're willing to admit that we've been wrong and when we're willing to forgive someone who has hurt us. My favorite story about forgiveness and the way sin enslaves us is the story of Grandma's duck. It's been 5 years since I told it. Some of you old-timers have forgotten that I ever told it. But it's the story of Johnny, who went to see his grandparents on his birthday, and they gave him a slingshot, his first slingshot. And Johnny began to practice taking a rock in that thing and trying to hit a target, and he couldn't hit it, save his life. Went out in the woods, and he put him a target on a tree, and he just could not hit the target with that slingshot. Well, frustrated, he started walking back to the house, and all of a sudden he saw Grandma's pet duck over by the water. And he put a rock in that slingshot and wound up and threw it, and the stone hit that duck right in the head and killed it instantly. Well, Johnny didn't know what to do. He did what most of us are prone to do. He covered that duck up as soon as he could. Oh, Lord. Deception makes you sick, makes you miserable. But we're all guilty. I don't want you to see that I've done this. Yeah, just a simple thing like spilling a little ink on the carpet somewhere. You wash and wash and wash and it won't come out. So you pull a chair over it. Hey, we're all alike, aren't we? I mean, we want to keep somebody from seeing it. So Johnny rushed and got the dead duck and put it onto the wood pile, covered it up, and then looked up and saw his sister Sally. She saw him do it. She didn't say a word. In a little while, they were sitting at lunch, had a good time at lunch. Grandmama said, "Well, Sally, I'd like for you to help me wash the dishes now. We've finished lunch." And Sally said, "Grandmother, Johnny said he would like to wash the dishes today." And she leaned over to Johnny and said, "Remember the duck. Remember the duck." So Johnny washed the dishes and Sally went to play. Well, that night at supper, that afternoon, Grandpa said to the children, "I want y'all to go fishing with me." And Sally said, "Well, you know, Johnny's got to help Grandmama fix supper. He won't be able to, but I can go, Granddaddy." Remember the duck? And so Johnny helped Grandmama fix supper. And that went on for two or three days. He had to do her chores and his chores. And he was just getting the best of him until finally he just broke down. And he went crying to his grandmother and said, "Grandmother, I killed your duck. I killed your duck. I'm so sorry." And she took him in her arms and hugged him. And she said, "Johnny, I knew you killed my duck. I saw you do it, son. And I just can't believe that you let Sally keep you a prisoner for all this time." Well, that's what our sins do to us. Isn't that right? It imprisons us. And it enslaves us. And we find ourselves miserable because of it. But forgiveness is such a... Can you imagine what it felt like? Can you imagine just being in the arms of your grandmother saying, "I forgive you. I saw you do it. I love you." A little boy had been disciplined by his dad because he had done some things he shouldn't have done. And he was crying. And his daddy was being unmerciful with him. He was probably like me, remembering how his daddy had disciplined him. He was disciplining this young 8-year-old boy. And the boy stood at the stairs crying. And the parents were down there thinking, "You deserve it because of the behavior that you have displayed." And the boy said finally, when he stopped crying, "Isn't anybody going to hug me? Isn't anybody going to hug me?" You know, there are times when a hug is like forgiveness. A hug demonstrates forgiveness. A hug can be a lifesaver, as it was for that little boy when his dad realized what he had done and had not done. And he rushed and embraced his son. Well, the wonderful good news is that our sins have been forgiven. You know why you ought to come to church? So that the preacher can remind you of the most wonderful thing. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. They've been forgiven. You don't have to let them enslave you and keep you trying to hide in deception and untruthfulness any longer. We have a Celebrate Recovery ministry here. Chris Henderson and Sharon Webber and some others have been faithful in that ministry to people who are dealing with personal problems and hang-ups. And in that program, they're invited to go through some steps that help you to grow. The 12 steps, they're sometimes called. One of those steps is to evaluate my relationships and to offer forgiveness to people I've hurt and to make amends for harm that I have done. That's a ministry that we all need to be involved in from time to time, isn't it? Because forgiveness is like a healing medicine that we can bring into our lives. Forgiveness sets us free and gives us peace with God. Johnny had peace with his grandmother, and he had peace in his own skin. And when you and I recognize that Jesus has forgiven us, then we can more freely and willingly forgive those who have hurt us. I love the story of Thomas Edison. You've heard it, but I want to tell it again, because I love to tell it. Thomas Edison, you remember that he made a light bulb one time? You remember? Well, there was a time when he had the first one, and he had it in his hands. And he was at a meeting, and he wanted to display it and to show it off. And he got a 12-year-old boy and said, "Son, take that up on the stage." And on the way up the stage, the boy dropped it and broke it. Thomas Edison, the story goes, did not reprimand the boy, recognized that he was nervous and had made a mistake and dropped it and broke it. He simply announced to the people who were there, "You come back in a few days and we'll have another bulb to show you." And when they all gathered again and he had another bulb that had taken a crew of men 24 hours straight work to make, Thomas Edison placed that bulb in the hands of the 12-year-old boy and said, "Son, bring the bulb up on the stage." That's the kind of spirit that I need. Pray for me to have that, will you? I need that spirit. That's the kind of spirit we all need. A willingness to forgive those who've made mistakes and not to be harsh. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are merciful." And where is the best place to practice mercy? In the family, in the home, in our relationships, to practice being merciful. Oh, I need that spirit, don't you? The spirit of being able to look beyond faults. Someone wrote a song, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs." And Jesus does that for us, doesn't he? The wonderful thing about Jesus is that he forgives us of our sins and gives us the grace we need to forgive others and to practice forgiveness as a way of life. Now, all of you were given a little card. Do you see that card? Looks like this. Do you have one of these? I had this little card made up because I want you to be able to take this with you. It's not something to turn in. You're not going to get graded by this. I want you to take this with you. Christian family is characterized by the practice of forgiveness. It's not an option. My favorite verse in the New Testament is Ephesians 4:32. Would you read it with me? "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You know when that became my favorite verse? While our children were growing up. It dawned on me one day that I needed that on the mirror in the bathroom. I needed it over the mantelpiece. I needed it in the car on the sun visor. I needed it everywhere I was, that I needed to practice what Paul was saying. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I want you to memorize that. Next time you see me, I want you to say, Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." It'll bless you to keep that in your mind and in your heart, especially when you're tempted to be harsh and judge someone so quickly for mistakes that you probably made yourself. Because, you know, we usually see so clearly in other people the mistakes we ourselves have already made. Then you could make a decision. With Christ's help, I'll offer forgiving love to my family members on a daily basis. I want you to sign that and date it. Put it in your Bible. Put it on the bathroom mirror. Put it in the car. Put it someplace where you'll see it occasionally. And let this be a reminder to practice the art of forgiveness so that God can have his way in our lives. Is there someone you need to forgive today? Forgive them. Or you'll be sick and in bondage until you do. If someone hurts you deeply and you think you can't forgive, Jesus will give you the power to forgive. And you can move on with your life and have peace with God because he sets us free from resentment and hatred and holding on to grudges and gives us peace with God. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Lord Jesus, you move now. I've talked a lot. But what we need now is the ministry of your Holy Spirit in the minds and hearts of your people. Go beyond the pitiful words of a preacher and do a fresh work of grace in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here. Help them, Lord, to get beyond holding a grudge or resentment and forgive anyone who has wronged them and begin to know the joy and peace that Jesus gives to those who obey his teaching. Lord, help us to be known as merciful, forgiving, understanding, encouraging, affirming disciples of Jesus Christ. in his precious name. Amen.